184 at the bottom, 100 on top. There's chitasin up there. There's not any more Hebrew English though. Yeah. Okay, five lines in the top. By the way, last time we did turn the page, so we got on a new page.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay. Shh. What do you need?
Reading glasses
in the back drawer in the kitchen. They're reading glasses. They might even be run right behind you. Look, turn around. Yeah, so use them if they work. We have a whole collection of them in the back.
Really?
Yeah. Soon we're going to get a whole collection of hearing aids.
No.
People don't hear, they don't see. Okay, last thing that Rebbe was explaining. Everything has a neshama, a soul. Inanimate plant, animal, and human. And everything is the way Hashem lowers himself into the physical world to sustain it. And he says like this, V'derech klal, five lines from the top. Nechlekas la'arba madregas, everything in the world is categorized into four elements, four levels. Deimim tzemeach chai medaber, inanimate, plant, animal, and human. Everything in the world is categorized into these four levels. Keneged dalet eis is corresponding with the four letters of Shema Havaya Baruch Hu, of the name of Hashem. All the fours in Yiddishkeit are interconnected. The four letters of Hashem's name is connected to the four worlds. The four worlds are connected, by the way, I'm Pesach, to the four sons, four cups of wine. All the fours in Torah are usually connected. Demim Semeichai Medaber, inanimate plant, animal, and human, corresponds with the four worlds also. The highest world, Atzilus, is the human, then the animal, then the plants, and then the inanimate objects, which corresponds also with Yudke Vovke. Yud is in the people, hey is the plant, vav is the animal, and hey is again the inanimate objects. And he says like this, Shemimanu Mishpoim, that the four letters of Hashem's name sustain the four physical objects in the world, inanimate, plant, animal, and human. And he says like this, Ukmei She'ein Areich V'dimyin, Ha'ara V'am Shocha Sachai She'bedeimim V'tzemeach. Just like you cannot compare the life that exists in inanimate and plant to the amount of godliness which is in animal and human, right? Inanimate and plant is a much lower lifeline, life from Hashem, than than animal and human. You can't compare the two. In fact, later on in this paragraph, the Rebbe is going to say it's like body and soul. See, body and soul. And he says like this, Afshe kulan er echot shava, even though it's all concealed from Hashem, b'chinas hest upon him in the concealment of God's revelation, u'melubesh b'levush echot b'kulam, shulevush neiga, and it's all through this klipa of neiga. I'll explain this whole thing in a second. Kach ein arech v'dim yiklal, the same way there's no connection at all. Bein ha'arev amshachas, Er himself, Shupnimis Ritzani is Barich, in the real intent of Hashem. But he has to upon him, Volavush Klau, without any concealment. Hame'ido Mlubeshis, which dresses itself into the action mitzvahs or the speech mitzvahs and so on. Let me explain this whole thing outside. But first, I need to give an introduction to it. You have the four basic things in the world: inanimate, plant, animal, and human. The purpose of everything is to go higher. That's the purpose of everything that Hashem created in the world, to work and become higher. Even in the four things, the four categories, everything also has purpose is to go higher. For instance, inanimate. Okay, water, stones, is doing inanimate. What do you do with water? You water a plant. The water, watering the plant, becomes part of the growth of the plant. Without water, the plant can't grow. You want the plant to grow, you water it. So what does the water become? The water actually is elevated to plant life. Plants are eaten by animals. What happens when a plant, when an animal eats a plant? It becomes the blood and flesh of the animal. But the vegetation, the growth. What happens to an animal? So therefore, inanimate goes up to plant, so to speak. Plant goes up to animal. Animals, when they're used by people, contrary to vegetarians for the sake that they feel it's cruelty to animals, I don't know if you don't like it, but Torah, in that respect, does not believe in being a vegetarian until the flood. They were all vegetarians. After the flood, Hashem said, now you can eat meat. The purpose, on the contrary, is when a person eats meat or uses meat of an animal, the meat becomes the blood and flesh of the person. So not only are you not cruel to the animal, but on the contrary, you're elevating the animal to human state. The animal is being elevated to a human state. Where does the person go? We're the epitome of creation. So the human goes up to godly state. Our elevation is to become one with Hashem. How does a person become one with Hashem? When a person does what Hashem wants us to do, that is the connect we learned last time. Mitzvah means tzavsa v'chibur, binding and connection. When a person does a mitzvah, they actually elevate themselves from the human state to a godly state. How does that happen primarily? By not serving Hashem with our intellect, because that's all human. Kabbalah's oil, by putting our intellect off at the side and serving Hashem because this is what Hashem wants us to do, so then we become elevated from a human state to a godly state. So what basically is happening is follows, and this is what Dr. Rebbe is going to elaborate on now. There is the real will of Hashem, and there is the limited will of Hashem, the concealed will of Hashem. There is, what Chassidus explains, there's what's called chitzenius haratzin, the external will, and there's pnimius haratzin, the internal will. What's the difference? To give an analogy, a person wants to work. A person wants the job. Right? Why do they want the job? Because they want to make money. It's not the job. The job is only a means to make money. I want to make money. How do you make money? By having a job. So I want the job. So wanting the job is the external wanting. The real will, so to speak, is to make money. The truth is, that's also not, because you have money, you can't buy anything with it. Forget it. But just take that analogy. I want to work because I want the money. So why am I working? That's the external will. The real will is because I want money. In order to get money, I need to work. So I want to work. When Hashem created the world, there is the external will of Hashem, and there is the real will of Hashem. Hashem wanted a world. That's why He made it. Hashem wanted a world. But that's only a means to the end. Hashem doesn't want a world because He wants a world. Hashem wants a world because He wants a dwelling place down here. Hashem wants a physical world to be made holy. Physical objects, including people, to become holy. So therefore, in order for physical objects to become holy, Hashem wants the physical world. And therefore He created inanimate plants, animal and human. But that's not the real will of Hashem. What Hashem really wants is that we should reveal the godliness which is hidden and lowered in this world. So Hashem made a world where he hid himself completely, where we don't feel, see, sense, smell, know of God by nature. And Hashem says, now I want you to reveal that godliness that exists in the world. That's the real will of Hashem. That real will of Hashem is not a concealment of godliness, because that's what Hashem openly wants. The world that Hashem created, that's not what he really wants. Hashem doesn't want a world as an end by itself. Hashem wants a world because he wants a world to be holy, so you need to have a world, and therefore you make the world holy. So in the creation of the world, Hashem really limited himself in these four objects. But the Alter Rebbe is explaining the concealment of God is in all four levels. Inanimate, plant, animal, and human is all a concealment of godliness. But the concealment of godliness in inanimate and plant is much greater than the concealment of God in animal and human. But what's the ultimate purpose of it all? Is to reveal the real will of Hashem, that the world becomes holy. And that's the job that we have to do. That we become God's partner in creation, and we become a creator, and we become equal to God, and all that.
Equal.
Not the sweetener called equal. Equal. Partner. Partner means equal. The Gemara's expression is, by certain mitzvahs, Nasa shutef l'kadosh baruch hu b'maisa bereishis. You become God's partner in creation.
Like what?
Torah uses expressions. The Torah says what it means, and it means what it says. When the Torah says you become God's partner, partner means an equal. Okay? When you become God's partner in creation, what does that mean? You are becoming creator. Okay? We're becoming from creation into creator. When a Jew does a mitzvah, they are transforming themselves from a limited creation to an unlimited creator. That's what happens every time a Jew does a mitzvah. Because God created an unfinished world, Hashem created a physical world. The job of making the holy world that we do. And therefore we become an equal with Hashem. Okay, and he says, V'chein b'mitzvah satuliyiz b'dibur. Or whether it's mitzvah connected to speech. U'bitis v'sayim. Or just the movement of lips. Bali kavana. Without any intent, without any spirit, enthusiasm, and so on. Shunachshav kamaisa mamishkana, which is also like an action. You know, we learned before, you move your lips. Verbal articulation is considered an action. But if there's no spirit in it, if there's no neshama in it, it's dead. And this is what the Alter Rebbe is explaining in this chapter. In this chapter, the Alter Rebbe said that even though in the previous chapters we learned that the main purpose and focus in this world is action, because if you have tefillin on the table and you meditate into tefillin but you don't put them on, it's worthless. If you're about to light Shabbos candles and you meditate into the greatness of light and what you're doing and all the great, but you don't light the candles, it's worthless. So the action's important. Yet the Alter Rebbe is explaining there's another ingredient over here. You can't have an action of a mitzvah, which is the body of a mitzvah, without a soul. And therefore, the soul of the mitzvah, that's the neshama, the life of the mitzvah, that's the intent of the mitzvah. That's equally important. You can have the action of the mitzvah, which is what counts in this world, but if you want the mitzvah to be alive, you need to put a soul into the mitzvah. That's the fervor, the enthusiasm, the intent, the kavanah, whatever you want to call it. That's what's needed in the mitzvah. And he says, it's also considered like an action l'gabi ha'arev amshachas erin tzof in comparison to the revelation of God. Hame'iro mislabeshet b'kavana mitzvahs ma'isis, that comes into action mitzvahs. Sha'adam miskavim basiyosin, when a person has the intent in doing a mitzvah. L'davka b'yizbarach to cling to Hashem, a'idekiyam ritzayne, by doing the will of Hashem. Shehuva ritzayne echad, Hashem and His will are one. Or you have the kavana of tefillah, you have the intent of davening, or krishma b'chisel, or shar brachas, or any other bracha. Okay? So you have the verbal saying of the davening, but then you have the neshama of the davening. What is the neshama of the davening? He says, when you have the intent of the mitzvah, then you cling your intent to Hashem's intent. Action connects to action. But action is only good because this is what Hashem wants in this world. But if you really want to be connected to the soul of Hashem, then you need to do soul things. You need to do not only action, but you need the neshama of it. What?
What if you daven in Hebrew because you think that's Hashem's language, but you would know what you were davening if you did it in English?
What are you asking? Is it better to daven in Hebrew and not know what you're saying, or daven in English and know what you're saying? Huh? Halachically, it's better to daven in English.
Really?
But there's always a but. But there's a certain uniqueness of the holiness of the words of davening. Therefore, to answer your question, the proper thing it is to do is to learn what the prayers mean and to daven in Hebrew.
Until you get there?
Yeah, but if you keep davening in English, when are you going to get the Hebrew going?
That's why I keep davening in Hebrew.
Okay, but now you have an English siddur. No, you know what? I know we're going off topic, but what a person really should do in that case, daven in Hebrew. But let's say once a week, once a day, whatever it is, when they read a paragraph in Hebrew, they should read, not verbally read it, but read the English for that paragraph that they said. Okay? Slowly, slowly, over a year, they'll get to know the general meaning of the entire tefillah. But there is an advantage of davening in Hebrew, because Hebrew is the divine inspiration words, and it's holy letters, and there's certain meanings that the Hebrew words have that the English words don't have. A person needs to do the physical act of the mitzvah. But if you do a physical act of the mitzvah, you're having a body without a soul. And that's not good. A person needs to have the combined body and soul. What does proper kavana mean? If somebody does a mitzvah because Hashem told him to do it, is that intent or not? A little louder, please.
Yes, I think so.
Yes. It is. It's the minimal requirement of a mitzvah. If you did a mitzvah by a mistake, there's a din in Shulchan Aruch. There's a din in Shulchan Aruch. If you are walking in the street and money falls out of your pocket, you didn't know that money fell out of your pocket. When you find out about it, you're very upset that money fell out of your pocket. And a poor person happened to find the money, you get a mitzvah tzedakah. Even though you didn't even know you lost it. When you found out you lost it, you're angry and upset. Not angry, you don't want to be angry. You're upset that you lost it. You're upset that you lost it. But if a poor person found it, you still get a mitzvah tzedakah.
What about it? They didn't have the action there.
Right. But the bottom line is, your money ended up by a poor person. Now, there is a whole argument in the Gemara if mitzvahs need intent or not. Some do, some biblical, whatever. There's a whole controversy in halacha. But it says even when you need, if somebody has the minimal intent, I'm doing it because Hashem told me to do it, that's kavana. That's the intent. Now, if somebody knocks off davening and is thinking about who knows what else, and they're not thinking what the words mean, it's an automatic pilot, you know, turn it on and it just goes. Did they daven properly? No. As long as they understood, you know, the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, the first pasuk of Shema, Seichas Yedecha, you fulfilled the mitzvah davening.
With a body and a soul.
Yeah, but it's a weak soul. It's not a strong battery. It's a very minimal battery. But this is what Hashem wants. Hashem wants us to reveal the intent. Listen, action connects to action. Soul connects to soul. Okay, the action of a mitzvah connects to the action of Hashem, so to speak. The soul of a mitzvah, the intent of the mitzvah, connects to the soul of Hashem. So that's why, ideally, you need a total picture. The total picture is the physical action of the mitzvah with the intent of the mitzvah.
How would someone do it that doesn't have, I mean, basically, you don't even know you're doing it.
Yeah, it's like people davening, then 2 hours later, said, did I daven today?
Right.
So, or did I bench, or did I do something? Because, the Alter Rebbe explained before, because this is an action world, having the soul without the action is worthless.
No, but you daven. When is it that you can daven without the soul?
Never. Okay. Why should you ever daven without a soul?
No, that's why I asked you if you have to have this written kavana, you know, if you don't need it, then...
There's a general kavana, I'm talking to the king. Okay, the intent, the individuals, what the, every word means. Then you could go into the meditation of it.
You have to have a soul. If you want to have a soul, how do you do it?
If you're in a rotten mood, and you do something for your family without any enthusiasm to it, okay, you cook dinner, okay, you're in a rotten mood, but you did it anyway. Is there any love put into that? No. Bottom line is, are they going to have what to eat? Yeah.
That's because you love them. If you didn't love them, you would just walk out and not do it. So there is love there, whether you want to, you don't want to say...
That's what the Alter Rebbe is going to explain, by the way. There's the Ava Mesuteres, the hidden love, and there's the revealed love, and everything. But the ultimate goal in any relationship, okay, definitely between the relationship between a Jew and Hashem, is to have the proper love and awe and fear to be able to do a mitzvah. The Alter Rebbe says in Tanya, that earlier in Tanya, that love is the source of all positive mitzvahs, and fear is the source of all negative mitzvahs. Okay? The difference between positive and negative mitzvahs are, when I do a positive mitzvah, that action connects me to Hashem. Okay? When I don't eat chazer, that I'm not doing anything. So that does not connect me to Hashem. Okay? But if I would eat chazer, that's an act of rebelling against Hashem. Okay? So love is the source of all positive mitzvahs. Because when you do a positive mitzvah, it connects you to Hashem. Why do you want to be connected? Somebody you love, you want to be connected to. So therefore, when you do a positive mitzvah, that is connecting you to Hashem. So if you want to have enthusiasm in the mitzvah, so when you do it out of love, because I want to be connected to Hashem, so then the mitzvah is done properly. When it comes to negative commandments, not eating treif, not doing this, not doing that, I don't become closer to Hashem by not eating treif, because I'm not doing anything that's bringing me closer. If I would eat the chazer, it distances me, it makes me further away from Hashem. And I'm rebelling against Hashem because I'm doing an active act against Hashem. Right? That's fear and awe. Why does a person not want to do a negative commandment? Because they don't want to rebel against Hashem. So fear is really the source of all the negative mitzvahs. Love is the source of the positive mitzvahs, because I want to become closer to Hashem. Ideally, when you want to do something right, you do it with the body and the soul. If you do it with the body, you know, what's the English expression? The road to hell is paved with good intentions. Okay? You know, you can have the best intent, but if it wasn't done, it's not done. I said there's a chosid, I think it was Rabbi Jacobson, once went into the Friedrich Rebbe, the previous Rebbe, and the Friedrich Rebbe told him to do something. And he didn't do it. For legitimate reasons. Okay, he didn't do it. The Rebbe called him back and said, did you do it? He said, no. And he gave legitimate reasons why he didn't do it. So the Friedrich Rebbe is a very important one-liner. The Friedrich Rebbe said to him, listen, I asked you a question, and you answered me an answer, but you know what? The thing still wasn't done. Okay? The thing still wasn't done. You have a great excuse. You know, in the list of excuses, it's an excused absence. But you know something? It's still an absence. The thing still didn't get done. I mentioned many times that the Rebbe once told somebody to do something, and the guy wrote to the Rebbe that, please take the job away from me because I have a heart condition. You know, I can't do it. So the Rebbe thought to him, fool, instead of asking me to take away the job, why don't you ask me to take away the heart condition? Understand? When things need to get done, when there's enthusiasm in doing it, when there's ava or yira, when it comes to negative mitzvahs, the things will get done, by hook or by crook. That's the advantage of love and fear, which is the neshama of the mitzvah. Because then you do it, and as the plumbers advertise, you get the job done right the first time. Because the way it's done is with enthusiasm, and then you, by hook or by crook, you'll get it done. Otherwise, you come up with every excuse in the book. Okay.